Okay, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. Chodesh Tov to all. Of course, we just celebrated Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, today Rosh Chodesh. We move into Gimel Tammuz this evening, which is actually the Yahrzeit of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. This evening, I'm Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Tonight's shir is dedicated to Lilui Nishmas and the Zecher Nishmas, and Miriam Frul and Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, and Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of this Torah that we share, and the merit of her family's dedication to being Marbitze Torah. It should be Zocha, the Richos Yamim and Shanim, for Tisku the Mitzos Ulamaisim Tovim. So we are on page 219 of the Sefer, and the second Sefer. Last time we had a very interesting, what I thought was a fascinating class, was in my own thought, so I could say that, into the first Rashi in each of the five books of Torah. Sorry, just putting myself together, which really demonstrates, not really putting myself together for those listening to the recording, just adjusting my position, which really demonstrates Hashem's love for Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, and Torah Yisrael, and that was our exploration last week. So if anyone has to say, for we're in the topic of Hashem's love for us and our love for Him. And the next subsection in this chapter, which is actually the second to last subsection in this section, is called prayer, tefillah, prayer. So says the author, and remember, we're talking about Ahavas Hashem. Hashem loves us, and we love Him. And the Mechaber is now going to tell us that without tefillah, we cannot reach this level of Ahavas Hashem, love of God, and understanding that God loves us. Prayer. We will return to a fundamental point stated before. What is the fundamental point? Whenever a person wants to attain something, there is his effort at one end. At the one end, you do hishtadlus when you want to attain something, and Hashem's gift at the other end. So there's absolute hishtadlus. A person can't sit home. Ein somchim al anes. We don't say food's going to magically come into my house. It doesn't work that way. If a person wants to get food, either they have to make an order, or they have to make an Instacart delivery, or Amazon Fresh Market, whatever it's called, or you have to go to the store, or ask your neighbor. Today, we don't live in a time when the manna falls from the heavens, and every morning you wake up with food in your house. So when you want to attain something, we're using the example of food in your home. There is your effort at the one hand, whatever your hishtadlus is, to obtain what you want. On the other end of the spectrum, you have Hashem's gift, understanding that even though I've done my hishtadlus, everything is a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The fact that I made an order or went to the store, my neighbor picked up something for me, that's my hishtadlus. But of course, I only have the end product in the house because of Hashem's gift. But what's between these two points on the spectrum? What's between hishtadlus and understanding that everything is ultimately a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam? Says the Mechaber, the intermediate element is tefillah. The bridge, if you will, between hishtadlus, putting in your effort, however you're going to get the food, doing that effort, and understand that you only have food at the end point because Hashem gave you the food. So my hishtadlus, God's effort, it's a spectrum. In between, the bridge is tefillah. So while we do our part, we have to be ever cognizant of tefillah, to daven to Hashem, says the Mechaber, to give the blessing as needed. So just because I do a mishtadlus, if I do my mishtadlus without tefillah, in essence, how do I expect any success, any blessing to sprout? And you must know and recognize that the main success comes from Hashem. I just want to see something. These days you do, with all the food distributions, ha, you do get food. Oh, well, even with the food distributions, you have to go and pick up the food, or someone has to pick it up for you, or you have to fill out an online form. So it's true in a sense that you could say that it's a way of manifesting from Shemaim. I understand what you're saying, but even to get the food in that way, you still need to do something, filling out the online form, waiting in the line, putting the box in your trunk, carrying it in your house, that's a form of mishtadlus. And the other end is recognizing that everything's from Hashem. And in between, you have tefillah. So I wanted to touch upon a specific bracha in the Shemona Esrei. Okay? So we just read the paragraph. I'm going to try and read his words without interrupting. We will return to a fundamental point stated before. I have a tendency not only to interrupt the Mechaber in any sefer, but myself as well. I just did it. I said I'm not going to interrupt. I see Joanna's laughing at me in a good way, like a friend. We will return to a fundamental point stated before. Whenever a person wants to attain something, there is his effort at the one end and Hashem's gift at the other, and the intermediate element, which is tefillah. You must do your part and daven to Hashem to give you the blessing as needed. And you must know and recognize the main success comes from Hashem as a result of this tefillah. So I've been thinking a lot with everything going on around us in the world, in our communities, in our country, the resurgence of COVID in Eretz Yisrael, Not a good matzav. I think a lot of the bracha Shema Kolenu. So it's a little bit different nusach in Ashkenaz and Sfarad. I happen to daven nusach Sfarad, but I'm going to read the nusach Ashkenaz Girsa. Shema Kolenu Hashem Elkenu, hear our voice, Hashem our God. Chus v'rachem Elenu, have compassion and mercy upon us. V'kabel v'rachem v'ratzon es tfilsenu, and accept with goodwill and compassion our prayers. Kikel shomei tefilos v'sachamim ata, you are the God who hears prayer and supplication. U'mefanecha makenu reikam al teshivenu, and before you, God, do not send us away empty. Ki ata shomei tefilos amcheso abrachamim, you are God who hears the prayers of your nation Israel with mercy. Baruch ata Hashem shomei tefila, blessed are you, God, who hears prayer. So this is really the final supplication before we move into the section of modim. Interestingly, in the Nusach Sfarad, I have two Siddurim, Ashkenaz and Sfarad. In the Nusach Sfarad, we have a line that's not Nusach Ashkenaz. Does anyone have a Nusach Sfarad or only me here? Does anyone else have a Nusach Sfarad? We say in Nusach Sfarad, Chanenu va'anenu shma tefilasenu. Ki ata shemet tefilas kol pam chesu brachmim. Chanenu, have compassion or grace upon us, va'anenu, and answer us, ushmat v'senu, hear our prayers, because you are God who hears the prayer of the mouths of Israel. Okay, first I'm going to quote from Avsham Shomfal Hirsch. Oh, you also daven Nesuch Sfarad, so you know those words. First I'm going to quote from Avsham Shomfal Hirsch. I'm quoting from the Hirsch Siddur. Okay, bell time. As you know from our learning, I value very much, appreciate very much the teachings of Rav Shem Shemfal Hirsch, whether it's on Tehillim or Chumash or on the Siddur, Pirkei Avos. So Rav Hirsch says the essential spiritual and moral sustenance of both the individual Jew and the entire Jewish national body is and shall always be tefillah. The essential spiritual and moral sustenance of both the individual Jew and the entire Jewish national body. So what is our essential spiritual and moral sustenance? Is and shall always be tefillah. The inner self-refinement that is accomplished before God through recognition of the truth and through the resolve to do good. So he says, without this, this is our inner essence. It's our absolute spiritual requirement. It is our moral perfection of both the individual and of Knesset Yisrael, which revolves around tefillah. And it's so interesting, I often go for a walk in the evenings, if I don't have shir, around Shkia time, 8:15 to 9 o'clock. I wear a reflector vest, public service announcement, you shouldn't walk at night without reflectors on you. I know as a driver, it's very, very hard to see. People think they're visible. You're not visible. Anyway, I go for a walk. Sometimes I leave last night after like 8:15, and you see so many street minyanim. I know the regular locations on my route where there are minyanim gathered, and I always think, Mika Amcha Yisrael, that Baruch Hashem, we have minyanim again. Even if it's outside, we make the effort to go in these crazy times. Everyone's wearing masks and standing apart from each other, but Baruch Hashem for tefillah. It is our essential spiritual and moral sustenance. He uses the word sustenance. So it doesn't sustain us physically. Tefillah sustains us spiritually and morally. And even after, the Navi Yeshayahu says, we will be reunited in Tzion Yerushalayim. And even once, the dynasty of King David will flourish once more. Nevertheless, the Pasuk says, V'haviyosim al har kodshi v'simachtim b'veis tfilasi. The ultimate end of days with Binyan Bayis Shlishi, it's Tammuz, it's the months of mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash. And even once the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, the Navi says in Yeshayahu, V'haviyosim al har kodshi, I will bring him to my holy mountain, v'simachtim b'veis tfilasi. Beis HaMikdash is known as the Beis Tfilasi, the house of prayer. It is for this reason that tefillah, prayer, constitutes the theme of this final blessing. The final blessing in the Shemona Esrei, in the Amidah, the final bakasha, I should say, is Shema Kolenu, that God should hear our prayers. We beseech God for favor, and we simultaneously pledge we will loyally put to proper use whatever he will grant us. So we ask for his favor. We ask him to grant us things, and we say we'll put it to proper use. Tell Hashem why. If you ask for something, why do you want that thing? If Hashem gives you the food, like we use that example on the spectrum, my hishtadlus, God's grace is in between his prayer. So why do you want the food? So I can be healthy. When we think of the ultimate example, why do Aaron Leib Steinman zecher tzadavik kol shavecha want food? He barely existed on food. Anyway, he existed on a whole life of Torah and Kedusha, but the little bit of food he ate at tzadik, things I eat so I could do mitzvos. We pray that God may see fit to accept our tefillah with rachamim, with mercy and ratzon, with goodwill, with rachamim as regard to our fate, and ratzon as regard to our endeavor. So what's the difference when we ask Hashem to accept our tefillos berachamim uveratzon, with mercy and with favor? The rachamim, mercy, is regards to our fate, and ratzon is regards to our endeavors. Whether our prayers takes the form of pure tefillah, the correction and ennoblement of one's soul, or that of pertinent tachanunim, the correction and ennoblement of our soul, in order thus to make ourselves worthy of having God regard our requests with favor. So we want Hashem to regard our requests with favor. May our entreaties not remain empty. May not be reikam milfanecha. May not be empty and ineffectual before Him. And so we begin Shemona Esrei with Hoda'ah, praise of God, and then we launch into a whole slew of bakashos, and towards the final bakasha, right before Modim, what we ask Hashem is, in summation, please accept all of our tefillos, pure tefillah. Grant us rachamim in regard to our fate, and grant us ratzon in regard to our endeavors. And do not return us empty, reikam, and ineffectual before You. Our Soloveitchik says, short quote from Koren Siddur Masorat Harav. Soloveitchik says, V'kabel berachamim uveratzon es tefilsenu, in compassion and favor, accept our prayer. It's so nice. Nancy says that tefillah helps her when nothing else can. Bad connection? Why is there, what does that mean, bad connection? Can you guys see me and hear me? Someone wrote there's a bad connection. I don't know. I hope not. You have to daven that the connection should be good. I'm not making a joke. I'm being serious. Perfect example. Hashem, please, that I'm not being facetious. So Rav Soloveitchik says, I hope it's okay. It froze for a bit, but it's fine now. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Cleared up. Okay, good. Maybe it was the tefillah. The Kabbal B'Rachamim V'Ratzon Es V'Lisein. It says Rav Soloveitchik, often a person can pray for something that is not ultimately in his best interest. We therefore ask that he accept only those requests that are for our ultimate good. When we say the Kabbal B'Rachamim U'V'Ratzon Es Tefilaseinu, accept our prayers with mercy and compassion and goodwill, meaning You, Hashem, know what's good for me. I think I know what's good for me, but that doesn't mean I know what's really good for me. And therefore we ask Hashem not to stam accept our prayers. We could just say Kabbal Es Tefilaseinu, Shema Tefilaseinu, Shema Kolenu. We don't just say hear our prayers, hear our voices, accept our prayers, because we would be misdirected. We say, please Hashem, does this not apply to every single one of us who's listening to the shir, whether on the Zoom session or on Wayu Torah? I ask you when you daven. Sometimes we find ourselves in such a confusing time. Maybe personally you can relate to what I'm saying. Right now, personally, I can really relate to what I'm saying. And you're really not sure what the outcome should be. Do you want it to be this way? Do you want it to be that way? I don't really know, Hashem. So I'm putting in my hishtadlus. And I understand that everything is from You. And the bridge between hishtadlus and understanding everything from Hashem is the gift of tefillah. Kabel berachamim uveratzon es tefilaseinu. It's not kabel es tefilaseinu, accept our prayers. It's not shema koleinu, hear our voices. It has to be beratzon uverachamim, with Your mercy and Your compassion and Your goodwill, because I don't really know what's good for me. And so often, I don't really know what's good for me. You know, you're trying to decide where to send a child to school. There's high school, that high school. There's cochlear implant company, that cochlear implant company. Take out the wisdom teeth, don't take out the wisdom teeth. Wait a year, don't wait a year. Say yes to the shidduch or say no to the shidduch. And so often, we find ourselves in a quandary, and sometimes we're davening and we really don't know what we actually want. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik says it's not Shema Kolenu and Kabel Es Tefilaseinu. Because when you stand in prayer before God, like Nancy said, tefillah helps me when nothing else can. It doesn't mean I have the answer. Sometimes it means I don't know what I need. I mean, when I think I know what I need, I still don't know what I need. So therefore we ask that he accept only those requests that are for our ultimate good. Those that are consistent with God's compassion and favor. And reject those tefillos that are not. So I might ask for something, but Hashem, if it's not for my good, don't give it to me. And the Rav says in 1932, by the way, this is brought down elsewhere. This is also brought down, the piece I'm going to say now, it's just one sentence in the Siddur. But in the Machzor, Masoros HaRav, L'yamim No'ra'im, it's a little bit more elaborated on. And it says here in 1932, says Rav Soloveitchik, 1932, I fervently prayed, the Rav's grandfather was Rav Chaim Brisker, his father went in, he was a Rav in Russia, in my Russia. In 1932, so he was European born and bred. In 1932, I prayed fervently for circumstances that would have allowed me to stay in Europe rather than immigrate to America. Had God in his compassion did not accept my prayer. So 32, 7 years before Rachman Alitzan, the outbreak of the Holocaust, of World War II, Rav Davin, and Rav Shai Shechter once told me personally, I didn't hear this in a shir, he told me personally, that his father Shliter, Rav Herschel Shechter, was in the Rav Shir when he spoke about this. And he told his Talmidim how he davened and davened and davened to be allowed to stay in Europe. How much koach and kavana he put into those tefillos. And they weren't accepted. Sometimes a person thinks in the immediate short term, my tefillos were unaccepted. And that's what Soloveitchik says. We ask Hashem, Kabel berachamim uveratzon es tefillos, saying, only accept our tefillos with goodwill and compassion. I don't even know sometimes what I'm davening for. Shomea tefila, who listens to prayer, says Rav Soloveitchik, we have the assurance that God indeed hears our prayer, but not necessarily that he accedes to our specific request. In the Machzor, it says, Hashem is always a shomea tefila. He's not always mekabel tefila. Meaning, he's always shomea tefila. He always hears our prayer. But Rav Soloveitchik says elsewhere, he is not always a mekabel tefila in the way that we want. He doesn't always accept our tefillos in the way that we exactly ask. And Rav Soloveitchik says, if God would accept our tefillos exactly the way we ask, we would be the most unfortunate people. He is always shomer, he's always listening, just like a parent listens to the child. But sometimes a parent says to the child, I heard your request, but I have to say no. And the child doesn't understand. He's always a shomer tefila, says Rav Soloveitchik. And that's why this bracha begins with Shema Kolenu. He is always Shema Kolenu. He always hears our voice. It is our persistent hope, says Rav Soloveitchik, that our request may be fulfilled. But it is not our primary motivation for prayer. What is, says Rav Soloveitchik, our primary motivation for prayer, which ties in so beautifully to the Tractate, and why perhaps the Mechaber, the author of our Sefer, of our book, brings up prayer under the context of Ahavas Hashem, as one of the components or elements of love of God is the component of prayer. Soloveitchik says, what is the primary motivation for Tefillah? It's not to have our requests answered the way we ask, because sometimes the Maisa, we don't even know what we're asking for. And sometimes we think we know what we're asking for, but it wouldn't be good for us. In praying, we do not seek necessarily a response to a particular request as much as we desire a fellowship with God. What you're asking Hashem is for a friendship with Hashem, a connection with Hashem, an open line of communication with Hashem. When nothing else helps me, Ribbono Shel Olam, help me connect to you through tefillah. And that's really what the author of the Sefer is saying. What does tefillah have to do with love? If the point of tefillah is not to get what we want, but rather to develop a sense of camaraderie, of fellowship, of closeness, of connection, of love with Hashem, then tefillah makes perfect sense. I turn to you, God, so that I can be close to you. Answering exactly my request is secondary, since I don't even know what I need. I just want to comment on one point that I realized a couple months ago. It's very interesting. In Nusach Sfard, Correct. You want a relationship with God, says Malachi. And Nancy says, sometimes he says no to a very specific prayer because he knows better. We don't see that. We only see the no. But we have to know that there's a grand plan, that Hashem sees the ultimate end. I noticed the Nusach, well, it's my Nusach Sfar. I actually didn't know until I prepared the Shir and I opened the Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur that it's different. In Nusach Ashkenaz, it goes from and from before you are king, do not return us empty-handed. Because you hear the tefillos of your nation Israel with compassion. Between those two statements in Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard, there is another statement. So listen to Nusach Sfard. You are the God who hears prayers and supplication. And from before you are king, do not return us empty. Chanenu va'anenu u'shema tefilasenu. So I don't know if anyone besides Rami and Chaya daven nusach svarad, but it does say Chanenu va'anenu u'shema tefilasenu. Ki ata shomei tefilas kol pa'am chayso brachmim. Chanenu, be merciful or compassionate or charmful or give us grace. Va'anenu, and answer us. U'shema tefilasenu, and hear our prayers. I noticed something very interesting. Shouldn't you first say, Shema tefilasenu, v'chanenu v'anenu, hear our prayers, and be compassionate and answer us? Isn't that the correct order? First hear what I'm asking for, and then please be compassionate and answer me. And that's not what we say in the Sukh Svarad. We say, Chanenu v'anenu. How could he answer if he didn't hear our prayers? Ushmat vilsenu. That comes at the end of the sequence. Chanenu va'anenu shmat vilsenu. It's totally out of order. First it should say, shmat vilsenu, hear our prayers. Then it should say, chanenu va'anenu, have mercy on us and answer us. It says, actually, shmat vilsenu last. Have mercy and answer us and hear our prayers, which comes to teach us that hearing our prayers is almost like the PS. You really know what we need. Therefore, chanenu, have mercy, va'anenu, and answer us in the best way possible. U'shma tefilasenu is a P.S. Please also listen to what I'm asking of you. But the Ribbono Shel Olam answers us even before he hears our prayers, because only he knows what is for the ultimate good. So a few women also say they daven nusach svarad, so perhaps this will enhance your tefillah tomorrow morning. It certainly has enhanced mine. First, it's chanenu va'anenu. Have mercy on us and answer us. And only then, u'shma tefilasenu. Almost like a PS, almost like it's tacked on. Because ultimately we ask God to hear our prayers, but the realization is that only the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what's good. I don't even know what's good. Elokim Yizkor Asher Asav, v'hinei tov me'od. Behold, it was very good. So we ask Hashem to answer with revealed blessings, with revealed bracha. And even in the times when we don't know really what we're davening for, we ask Hashem, Chus v'rachim aleinu, v'kabel b'rachamim uv'ratzon, es tefilasenu. And this is our spiritual and moral essence, says Rav Shamsher Falhers, without which the Jew is an individual, and Knesset Yisrael as a body cannot exist at all. Going back to the Sefer. So the first paragraph in the subheading was the fundamental point. Whenever you want to attain anything, we just use the example of food, there's effort, there's Hashem's gift, and then there is the intermediary element, which is tefillah. You do your part and you daven that Hashem should give you blessing as needed. You have to recognize the main success comes from Hashem. Okay, moving on with the Sefer. We will explain in detail. You might be holding a cup of water. I noticed that the Mechaber uses the example of a cup of water a lot. Remember the water bottle on the street, if it spills, you wouldn't be upset. So too, if something breaks in your house, you shouldn't be upset. Okay, he uses the water bottle a lot. You might be holding a cup of water. Say to Hashem, why did you give me this water? I know clearly in my mind, it's because you love me. To the extent that you really feel this way, express yourself. Beyond that level, you should daven to Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, I feel that you gave me this water because you love me. But I don't feel it enough. I feel I have the water because I'm thirsty. I feel the water because I went for a walk and it's 85 degrees outside. I feel the water is good for me because I was just fasting all day. We're coming up to Shiva Av Sar B'Tammuz and to Shabba Av. Avai, we should be Zecha to redemption before. But you don't necessarily think that you have water because Hashem loves you. Rather, you might think you have water for all the other reasons I just mentioned. So I don't feel enough, Hashem, that you love me. Help me to feel your love in truth, so that the feeling will be truly felt deeply in my soul, and the love will naturally live and burn within me all day. So for all the other reasons that you drink water, excuse me, because you're thirsty, because you're hot, because you fasted, because you need to take your medication, whatever reason is that you drink water, ultimately it has to go back to Ahavas Hashem, that the whole scope of our lives should revolve around Ahavas Hashem. Speak to Hashem about the fact that he loves you, as evidenced by his gifts. And always daven to be able to feel Hashem's love more and more. We have to daven, he says. Tefillah is an integral part of the component of our relationship to Ahavas Hashem. We have to daven to ask Hashem to help us open our hearts. Rav Soloveitchik says, the ultimate goal of tefillah is not to get all those things that we're asking for. which might feel a little discouraging on the one hand, but really if we view from the lens of Ahavas Hashem, it's the most ennobling. The whole purpose of tefillah, I shouldn't say the whole purpose, the goal of tefillah is to establish a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Him giving us what we just asked for is secondary. Page 220. The more you feel in your heart, not just in your mind, that Hashem loves you, the more you will reciprocate with love for Him. Isn't that true in interpersonal relationships? It's so true. The more you feel that someone loves you, the more you give to them. It's absolutely true. So the same thing with the Ribono Shel Olam. The more you feel in your heart that Hashem loves you, the more you will reciprocate with love for Him, because it's a two-way street, it's a two-way relationship. I mentioned Rav Shai Shechter talking about putting notes in the kotel. It was a shir. It's not so pashut if it's permitted to put notes in the kotel. Everybody should ask on Shaila, Shavai, Halavai, things should be calmed down, and we should be zocha to ask the Shaila if we're allowed to put notes in the kotel upon visiting the kotel. But I once heard him talking about putting notes in the kotel. Many different opinions. Where does the Kedusha of Har HaBayis actually begin? If you stick your hand into the Kota, are you going past the boundary of Kedushas Har HaBayis? Is it like what is forbidden? I'm not passing any halacha. I'm making that very clear. But I'm just going to share one hashkafic point with you. He quoted many different sources. I don't remember who gives this mashal. I think it was Rav Nebenzal. It was a rabbi of the old city, but I could be wrong. So don't quote that either. But I definitely heard Rav Shai Shechter say this. He says, one of the reasons you shouldn't put notes in the kotel, besides for the halachic shayla, is the hashkafic shayla. You're at the holiest place that we are allowed to stand. The remnant of the surrounding walls on Har HaBayis. Hineze omer achar kosalenu. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says that God stands behind our kotel. Meitzis min hacharikim. Mashkiach min achalono, meitzitz min acharikim. He's looking out of the windows. He's peering through the lattices. He's always standing behind our kotel. And the Midrash says there that the Shechina, the divine presence, never left the kotel hamaravi. So you go to the kotel and you want to know if you should put a note. So Rav Shai Shechter said, I think it was quoting Rav Nebenzal Shlita, but I could be wrong. You have an opportunity to talk to Hashem. We're speaking about tefillah. You have an opportunity to pour out your heart. You're leaving a note? Talk to God. Cry over your sitter. Say a kapitel of Tehillim. And he gave a mashal to a relationship between a husband and a wife, who instead of talking to each other, they leave notes on the bed. So she wakes up in the morning and she says, dear so-and-so, whatever her husband's name is, dear husband, your lunch is in the fridge, your breakfast is on the counter, please take out the garbage, have a good day. And he leaves, they don't see each other. And that night, he leaves her a note on the bed. He says, I hope you had a good day. I went to Marv. I learned Daf Yomi tonight. Good night. In the morning, she leaves him. They're leaving notes. Why aren't you talking to each other? Don't you love each other? You're leaving notes? Wouldn't you say that something was wrong with that relationship? Have you heard about people who live like that? Or a parent and child. Forget the husband and wife for a minute. We're always leaving notes for each other. I'm not talking about love notes. I'm not talking about cute drawings that your kid or grandchild brings home from kindergarten. You're always leaving a note. Why aren't you talking? There's something wrong with our relationship. So Shai Shechter said, if you have the opportunity to dive into the Ribono Shel Olam, pour out your heart, talk to Him. You're in the bedroom. You're in the most intimate room. The Chadar Chadarim, the only place that we can go. Can't go into our bayis today. Over these I cry, my eye runs with tears. There is no one to restore my soul. The enemy has prevailed. So we're at the closest place to Kedusha where we could be. Why aren't you talking to Hashem? It's an opportunity to pour out your heart. What would you say about a husband and wife who leave notes without speaking to each other? You'd say there's something wrong with that relationship. The more you feel in your heart that Hashem loves you, the more you will reciprocate with love for Him. But if you imagine a couple who always talks to each other, good morning, how was your night, please do this, I'll see you later, have a wonderful day, drive safely, and they exchange words with each other. Or a mother and child who exchange words with each other, a feeling of love, or siblings, or a best friend, you have to speak to the other person to maintain a connection. That's why some people Take umbrage with virtual communication today. When so much is virtual, what happens to our connection between humanity? If you're constantly writing notes and never actually speaking to the person, how can you develop a loving relationship? I've heard from people that's very hard. I know in the beginning of the pandemic, at least, Why You Connect was recommending only, Robert Samar Jiglat told me, they're recommending only dating on Zoom. It's very hard if you can't actually speak to a person. Baruch Hashem, I think that we in this chabur already have a relationship. After 6 years, I think we have a relationship. So Baruch Hashem, our Zoom is a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But can you develop, can you build a relationship? You need to talk to someone, you need to sit with someone. So that's how it should be with Hashem. When you see that He loves you because He gives so much to you, you will reciprocate with love for Him. Yes, says the Mechaber, it will require work. He writes it will be relatively easy. So you might be on a different level. I don't find any Avodas Hashem, and certainly not from the Sefer, easy. It's a very high madriga. Avodas Hashem is the highest level. I'm nowhere near serving God from pure Avodas Hashem. But at least we should have the idea. At least we should understand what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from us. Once you feel Hashem's love, if you have a sefer on page 220, second paragraph. Once you feel Hashem's love towards you, say to Him, if you love me so much, I also love you. If you still feel no love, you should daven. What should you say when you daven? Hashem, you truly love me. I must have a hidden ability to love you in return. So you're not saying I can't love you. Hashem is just hidden. According to the principle of Kamayim Epanim Lepanim Kein Lev HaAdam LaAdam, as water reflects a face, so the heart of man to man. So you have to ask Hashem, please awaken that feeling. I know it's somewhere in my soul, but I don't feel it. So read another lesson. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on others. I think I have to sneeze. Excuse me. Never give up on yourself and never give up on others. But deep in my soul, I know I feel love for you. And that's very important. Especially, the world has changed so drastically. It's been leading up to change over the past couple of years with the rise in anti-Semitism. The Tree of Life Temple, is that what it was called, in Philadelphia? Chabad Poway shooting, the Chanukah Malava Malka, guards outside of all of our Batei Knesiot and Batei Midrashos, Shaori changing the Shul gates, the entranceway. There's a lot leading up to, a lot of signs from Hashem leading up to the current matzav, current situation that we find ourselves in. But the world has changed so drastically. And working on Ahavas Hashem during this time is sometimes confusing. Because Hashem, if you really love me so much, why is this happening? Whether to me personally as an individual, people are in pain, people are struggling, people have lost parnasa, people are sick, people have lost their lives. Rahman Tzlan in Eretz Yisrael, it's very bad if you follow the Israel news. The cases are very quickly climbing again. So it's hard sometimes, it's a challenge sometimes. But you have to understand that the feeling is in your soul. It's there. I just might not feel it. That's chizuk. You shouldn't think you don't have the capacity to love Hashem. It means you might not have aroused it sufficiently enough. In general, everybody feels love some for Hashem. Did I just say that right? Everybody feels some love for Hashem. Did I mix up the words? So a more common way is, I feel I love you, but Hashem, not as much as you love me. You know the kids' book with the, oh my gosh, it just came to mind. You know the kids' book? The mother bunny and the baby bunny. And the mother bunny says, how much I love you. And the baby bunny says, I love you more. And the mother bunny says, no, I love you more and more. You know what I'm talking about? One second. I'm here. I can't find it, of course, because I'm looking for it now, so I can't find it. Ah, I found it, Baruch Hashem. I found it. I also happen to be, I'm putting that in quotes, in the basement where my armoire of kids and baby books are. It's called Guess How Much I Love You by Sam McBrandy. Is anyone following the new serial of Mishpacha and Family First, where the Rebbetzin is reading kids' books to her congregants? Yeah, Malki Feldman is not a guest. I'm not going to read you the whole book, but that's what I now feel like. Her name is Chana, right, Malki? And she's reading kids' books to people in the library. Malki's laughing. She's not giving shiurim, she's reading kids' books. This is called Guess How Much I Love You. Oh, it's such a beautiful book. I'll just read you an excerpt so you understand what I'm talking about. I'm using this as a parent-child relationship, as a mashal nimshal, to our relationship with Hashem. Little nut brown hair, who was going to bed, held on tight to big nut brown hair's very long ears. He wanted to be sure that big nut brown hair was listening. Guess how much I love you, he said. Oh, I don't think I could guess that, said big nut brown hair. This much, said little nut brown hair, stretching out his arms as wide as they could go. Big nut brown hair had even longer arms, but I love you this much, he said. That is a lot, thought little nut brown hair. I love you as high as I can reach, said little nut brown hair. I love you as high as I can reach, said big nut brown hair. That is very high, thought little nut brown hair. I wish I had arms like that. Then little nut brown hair had a good idea. He tumbled upside down. He reached up the tree trunk with his feet. I love you all the way up to my toes, he said. I love you all the way up to your toes, said big nut brown hair, swinging him up over his head. I love you as high as I can hop, laughed little nut brown hair, bouncing up and down. I love you as high as I can hop, smiled big nut brown hair. He hopped so high, his ears touched the branches above. That's good hopping, thought little nut brown hair. I wish I could hop like that. I love you all the way down the lane as far as the river, cried little nut brown hair. I love you across the river and over the hills, said big nut brown hair. That's very far, thought little nut brown hair. He was almost too sleepy to think anymore. He looked beyond the thorn bushes, out into the big dark night. Nothing could be farther than the sky. I love you right up to the moon, said little nut brown hair, and he closed his eyes. Oh, that's far, said big nut brown hair. That's very, very far. Big nut brown hair settled little nut brown hair into his bed of leaves. He leaned over and he kissed him goodnight. Then he lay down close by and he whispered with a smile, I love you right up to the moon and back. It's called Guess How Much I Love You by Sam McBrady. It's a beautiful book. So you have to understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. And the Mechaber says, I feel I love you, but not nearly as much as you love me. Like the child, little nut brown hair, tries to tell their parent, I love you more. And the parent's always saying, I love you more. As much as you love, I love you, Hashem, Hashem loves us more and more. Hashem, your love is infinite. I love you right up to the moon and back. So I ask to be able to love you more and more. Please help me. Guess how much I love you. Please help me find the love within myself. I'm reading this. I quoted it last week, actually, Rav Asher Weiss, if you remember, on Amunah and Bitachon. I also quoted it from it last week. I'm going to quote a different piece tonight that actually deals with Ahavas Hashem. Specifically deals with Ahavas Hashem, yes. Okay, Rav Asher Weiss, Amunah and Bitachon. So he says, did you like that book? It's a beautiful story. It's very fast. Torah means of attaining Amunah. Okay? Interesting, because I feel that this whole Chabura and all its different aspects all really go back to attaining Amuna. So Rav Asher Weiss writes, we have seen that one way to attain Amuna and Hashem and to instill love, Ahava, and awe, Yira, for him is through contemplating his wondrous deeds. And this is what the Mechaber tells us. Contemplate what Hashem does for you and you will come to Ahavas Hashem. Another way to come to love of God and pachad, yira, ahava, is through contemplating and toiling in Torah. As the Rambam writes, Maimonides writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, Hashem has commanded, okay, this is the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, positive mitzvah number 3, quote, Hashem has commanded us to love him. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, positive mitzvah, asay 3, Hashem has commanded us to love him. How could you command me to love someone? Through contemplating his mitzvos, through contemplating his statements, through contemplating his deeds, we will attain some understanding of him. We will derive pleasure from that understanding. And with the greatest of enjoyment, this is love we are obligated to have. So if anyone thinks that our mechab is being a little bit far-fetched, chas v'sham, it's based on Torah giants who came before us. And the Rambam writes, we are commanded to love God. How can we love Hashem? You have to contemplate His mitzvos. You have to contemplate His statements. Contemplate God's deeds until you attain understanding of Hashem. You will derive pleasure from that understanding. That is love that we are obligated to have. It's a requirement. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, v'ahavta Hashem elokecha. The Rambam thus offers two paths that lead to love of Hashem. In fact, perhaps, says Rav Weiss, it is more correct to say the Rambam's writing provide us not only with two different pathways towards love of Hashem, but two different forms that the love may take. What do you mean, two different forms? In his Sefer HaMitzvos, which we just quoted from Rav Asher Weiss, he speaks about love that comes from the intellect, the pleasure of achieving understanding. So you should derive, he quotes the Rambam, you should derive pleasure from understanding with the greatest of enjoyment. We're obligated to love Hashem once we contemplate His mitzvot, statements, and deeds. So that is the love, says Rav Asher Weiss, of achieving understanding. It's an intellectual love. You contemplate all God does for you. You look at the world and the beauty and the gifts around you. You see, like you said, the boxes of food, or your hashtadis and getting food, and you understand that Hashem loves you. It's an intellectual love. However, in Hilchos Tshuva, which Be'ezras Hashem we should be well, next week we're going to begin with. In the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, in his Mishnah Torah, he says, what is love that is appropriate for Hashem? The person will love Hashem with a very great and very powerful love. His soul must be bound up in love of God. This is the Rambam. Your soul should be bound up in love of God. You should think about Hashem constantly, as though he were a lovesick man whose mind is never free of his love for a woman. This is Perek Yud in the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. He thinks about her constantly. Whether the man is sitting or standing, eating or drinking, he is lovesick. So he is constantly thinking about the woman he loves. This is the Rambam. Even greater than this, a love of obsession for a person you are infatuated with, even greater than this is love for Hashem in the hearts of those who love Him. As they think about Him constantly, constantly, in accordance with the Pasuk, with all your heart and with all your soul, b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. As Shlomo Melech said in Shir HaShirim, I am sick with love for Hashem. That's the Rambam. Not our Mechaber, not Rav Asher Weiss, that's a Rambam. And next week we're going to look at it inside. Baruch Hashem, tonight I did a test Zoom with my family as I was trying to screen share. Ali Shev, Baruch Hashem, got it. So next week I'll be able to screen share so you could all see the Rambam in front of you. From these words, says Rav Weiss, we see the mitzvah to love Hashem. Elishev, I came a long way from the first Nusas, right? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. From these words, we see the mitzvah to love Hashem involves the emotion that burns in a person's heart. So Rav Asher Weiss is saying there are two forms to loving God. You froze again? Okay, there's only 2 minutes left to share, so I want to finish this. Could you at least hear me? Okay. We see that the mitzvah to love Hashem involves the emotions that burn in a person's heart until he becomes lovesick. Therefore, there are two ways to achieve love of Hashem that correspond to two ways of loving Hashem. One, intellectual love, through studying Torah, through contemplating His world, through looking at His works, from thinking about Hashem. You have an intellectual love for God. That's the love of the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. But there's a heartfelt love that comes through contemplating the wonders of creation, like a man who is lovesick over a woman. And that's not a love of intellect, that's a love of emotion. So actually, Rav Asher Weiss says there are two different ways to loving Hashem. A person needs to work on the love of intellect, which I think hopefully will lead to a love of emotion. We should note in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam writes, it is an intellectual love that we are obligated to have. It may be understood from his words, this love is obligatory. The intellectual love for Hashem that comes through being involved in Torah and mitzvos is obligatory. And that's why, says Rav Asher Weiss, it's in Sefer HaMitzvos. It's counted as one of the mitzvos. To love Hashem is an obligation. How do you attain that love? Through, says the Rambam, contemplating His mitzvos, His statements. Be involved in Torah. You will come to intellectually love Hashem. However, in Hilchos Teshuvah of Mishnah Torah, he writes about love of the heart. And that's appropriate love, a desirable level. Hence, the way to attain this form of love which the Rambam outlines as desired perfection, various traits. It's not obligatory, the love of the heart, but the love of the intellect, which comes through being osek lasok b'divrei Torah, no sinner Torah, melamed Torah, through involving yourselves in Torah, you will come to love Hashem. Because once you love Torah, once you love mitzvos, you automatically love the one who gave it to you. So we have to love Hashem in two places. In our intellect, if you thought it was hard before, it's even harder. In our intellect and in our heart, a love that is all-encompassing. And part of the way we attain it, like we learned this evening, is by talking to Hashem through tefillah. It's not enough to leave notes. And I'm not talking about halachically, whether you leave a note in the kotel or not. That's for you to ask your Rav. Hashkafically, what better way to attain love than to talk to Hashem? Shema kolenu, chus verachim alenu, v'kabel berachamim uveratzon. S to feel the same. I thank everybody for joining. The Ilui Nishmas of Miriam Ful, Miriam Baschai Mitzak, Allah HaShalom. Hashem should have a continuous Ali in the merit of this year. You should share a month. The Besoros Tovos for Yeshuos and a good Shabbos for everybody. Thank you all.